Welcome to Grand Rapids Daily for Saturday, April 25th. I'm your host, and looking out downtown right now, it's about 50 degrees with some broken clouds. It feels a bit cooler, around 46 because of that 8-mile-per-hour north-northwest breeze.
Good morning. After those severe storms that rolled through parts of southern Michigan earlier this week, it looks like things are settling down. We'll see temperatures climb up to a high of 72 degrees by early evening with mostly clear skies tonight.
Definitely a nice break. Tomorrow, we're looking at a low around 42 in the morning, climbing into the mid-40s by noon with overcast clouds moving back in. So enjoy the sunshine while it's here today.
Absolutely. We've got a packed show today, starting with a major ballot initiative looking to get dark money out of Michigan politics.
Plus, we'll discuss the sudden closure of all Kent District Library branches following a reported ransomware attack.
And a look at how Grand Rapids has successfully grown its tree canopy to 37%, and what that means for the city's future. Let's get into it.
Starting off in state politics, there's a significant push underway to change how political campaigns are funded here in Michigan. A group called Michiganders for Money Out of Politics is actively trying to get an initiative on the November 2026 ballot.
Right, and the core of this proposal is really about restricting political contributions from regulated monopolies. We're talking about your electric and gas utilities, as well as companies that hold major government contracts. Specifically, any contractor with over $250,000 in annual government contracts would be barred from making direct or indirect political contributions.
It also aims to close loopholes surrounding so-called issue ads. These are the ads that often flood the airwaves right before an election without explicitly saying to vote for or vote against a candidate, which currently allows them to skirt certain disclosure rules. The organizers have a tight deadline coming up fast. They need to collect at least 356,958 valid signatures by May 27th just to qualify for the ballot.
And the polling on this shows incredibly high bipartisan support. Voters across the political spectrum seem exhausted by the pay-to-play dynamics in Lansing. But, as you might expect when you try to turn off the money spigot, there is strong, organized opposition. Entities like Consumers Energy and Blue Cross argue this measure could infringe on their First Amendment rights of association.
Opponents also point out a potential unintended consequence here. They argue that restricting these visible, regulated contributions won't actually eliminate the influence of big money. Instead, it might just push those funds into alternative channels that are much harder to track, essentially creating more dark money in the system.
Which is a valid concern. Campaign finance is a lot like water. It always finds the cracks. But proponents of the initiative argue that starting with regulated monopolies is a crucial first step because these companies literally rely on state regulators for their rate increases and profit margins. When a utility can legally fund the campaigns of the very politicians who appoint the regulators that oversee them, critics say it fundamentally undermines democratic accountability.
The debate is definitely getting heated. Some critics of the initiative have even pointed out that the campaign itself relies on dark money funding to pay for the massive effort required to gather these hundreds of thousands of signatures, which challenges their grassroots anti-corruption image.
It's a complex issue, and it really highlights the massive logistical and financial hurdles involved in citizen-led ballot initiatives. The real test is going to be whether they can hit that 356,958 signature threshold by late May. If it makes the ballot, it's going to be one of the most heavily debated and probably heavily funded campaigns this entire election cycle.
We'll definitely be watching those signature counts as the deadline approaches. It could really reshape the landscape of Michigan politics if it passes.
Moving to some breaking local news that's affecting a lot of residents this weekend, Kent District Library has officially closed all of its branches due to what they initially called a computer outage.
This closure is effective from Friday through Sunday, April 26th. But according to local community discussions, specifically reports surfacing on the Grand Rapids subreddit, the cause of this outage is much more malicious. It's a ransomware attack.
Right. The word is that KDL systems were proactively taken offline by their IT department to mitigate the incident. This is becoming an alarmingly common trend nationwide. public libraries are increasingly targeted by ransomware attacks because they operate critical, publicly accessible networks. And often, frankly, they don't have the massive cybersecurity budgets of private corporations.
When a system gets hit, the attackers encrypt the data and demand payment to restore access. For a library system as large as KDL, which serves all of Kent County outside of the city of Grand Rapids proper, taking systems offline means shutting down everything. We're talking public internet access, digital catalogs, printing services, and the entire circulation system.
And we really have to talk about the operational impact here. A lot of patrons rely on KDL not just for borrowing books, but for essential daily internet access. People use the library computers to apply for jobs, access government services, pay bills, and print important documents. Losing that access for an entire weekend, or potentially longer, is a major disruption.
Exactly. It disproportionately affects vulnerable populations who don't have reliable broadband at home. Now, taking the systems offline proactively is actually standard incident response protocol. It stops the ransomware from spreading to other servers or potentially compromising patron data, but it means a hard stop on services. It'll be interesting to see how KDL communicates the recovery process over the coming days. Will they have to rebuild their systems entirely from backups? And how long will it take to securely restore public internet access without risking another breach? For now, if you are planning to head to a KDL branch this weekend to study, check out a book, or use the computers, you'll need to find an alternative. We'll keep an eye out for official updates from KDL leadership as they navigate this crisis.
Let's shift gears to a long-term project that's literally changing the landscape of Grand Rapids. The city has officially reached a 37% citywide tree canopy coverage.
That's a significant jump. Back in 2008, the coverage was down at 34.6%. This progress is a direct result of the Green Grand Rapids Sustainability Plan, which established an ambitious goal of 40% tree canopy cover way back in 2012.
And we aren't just talking about aesthetics here, though the trees certainly make the city more beautiful. The current tree canopy provides quantifiable ecosystem services that are valued at nearly $372,000 annually. That includes removing air pollution, sequestering carbon, and intercepting stormwater runoff, which is huge for our local waterways.
One of the biggest success stories within this data is the downtown district. They had a specific micro goal to reach 10% canopy cover by 2024, and they actually met it. That's double the 5% coverage they had back in 2015.
Which is incredibly hard to do in a dense, concrete environment like downtown. It requires a lot of collaboration between the city government, nonprofits like Friends of Grand Rapids Parks, and everyday community volunteers who go out and do the actual planting.
But as city forester Nick Hitchcock noted, planting the trees is only the first step. Ongoing maintenance is essential to protect this investment. That means pruning, managing invasive species, and ensuring these young trees actually survive the harsh urban environment to reach maturity.
That brings up a critical discussion point. How does the city manage the final 3% to hit that overall 40% goal? It gets exponentially harder because you start running out of easy public land and park space. You really need private property owners to buy in and plant trees in their own yards.
And there's also the issue of tree disparity. Historically, wealthier neighborhoods have had much denser canopies, while lower-income areas suffer from the urban heat island effect because they lack adequate shade. The city has been actively trying to address this by targeting specific neighborhoods for planting, but righting those historical imbalances is a slow process.
Another major challenge is species diversity. A large portion of the current street tree population is made up of Norway maples. Relying heavily on one single species makes the entire canopy vulnerable to pests and diseases. We saw exactly what happened a decade ago when the emerald ash borer wiped out ash trees across the state.
Exactly. Urban forestry is a massive, resource-intensive infrastructure project. It's great to celebrate the 37% milestone, but the work of planting, maintaining, and diversifying the canopy is an ongoing, generation-spanning effort.
All right, we've got a few more local stories to get to. Let's hit the roundup.
Sounds good. We've got public safety alerts, some local sports heroics, and community news.
There's an urgent public safety warning currently circulating on the Grand Rapids subreddit regarding a man on a Lime scooter who has been sexually assaulting women in the Heritage Hill neighborhood. According to the reports, the suspect is described as a tall, thin man in his early 20s with short black hair. He's reportedly riding on the sidewalk, running people off without warning, and slapping women as he passes. The first reported incident occurred at 7:30 a.m. in front of 316 Union Avenue, and another happened between 11 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. near Lyon and Prospect Streets. Police are urging anyone who sees someone matching this description to take photos if it is safe to do so, and to call the non-emergency line at 616-456-3400.
In sports, the West Michigan Whitecaps pulled off a thrilling 7-6 walk-off victory against the Lake County Captains. First baseman Garrett Pennington was absolutely the hero of the game.
He certainly was. Pennington went 3-for-5 with 4 RBIs. He hit a 2-run home run in the 8th inning to keep them in it, and then delivered a game-winning 2-run double in the bottom of the 9th. The win improves the Whitecaps to 12-7. Keeping them in first place in the Midwest League Eastern Division.
And just to underscore how big of a deal that game was, the News Herald also highlighted the Whitecaps' late-inning heroics. This kind of high-leverage, high-A minor league baseball is exactly where top prospects prove themselves. Finally, the Rockford community is mourning the loss of Gregory Radcliffe, who passed away this week at the age of 78 following a tragic pedestrian accident outside his home. Radcliffe was a Vietnam War veteran, a longtime local home builder, and a third-degree black belt in Taekwondo. He leaves behind a strong legacy of service and community involvement in the Rockford area, and our thoughts are with his family and friends.
That's going to do it for today's episode of Grand Rapids Daily. Thanks for starting your weekend with us.
As always, we appreciate you tuning in. Stay safe out there, especially if you're out walking or riding in the Heritage Hill area, and enjoy the nice weather while it lasts. We'll be back tomorrow with more local news, weather, and updates from across West Michigan. Have a great Saturday.